Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
Genesis 46. What a passage of scripture. When I was preaching one of the past messages over the weekend, I made mention of Joseph studying the Torah with his father. And I want you to think about that statement. So what doesn't make sense to you in your mind when I say that? What Torah? Am I right? Who put together the Pentateuch or the Torah? Moses, by revelation, wrote the Pentateuch. You understand this? So Joseph is before Moses. So if I had somebody call me and say, Pastor, are you telling me the law was before Moses wrote it? And I said, no, it wasn't. I really should have said that a little differently. Torah means to teach, is what it means. And literally there was an oral Torah, if you can understand that. There was a teaching that was passed down from the early fathers, if you will, and that's what rabbinic scholars believe. So they were taught, and there's a lot of examples of that. I just wanted to make some of this plain, like clean and unclean animals in Genesis 7 and verse 2, sacrificial worship in Genesis 8, circumcision Genesis 17. There's moral obligations like against murder and idolatry, and those things were passed on orally. So when I made mention of them studying the Torah and the possible relation to Deuteronomy 21, in the murder and the breaking of the heifer's neck in the field. Raise your hand if you know what I'm talking about, and if I shot over your head, it's okay. All right, so I just want to correct that. I certainly should have said it plainer, more clearly. Stand on your feet if you're able, just a few verses. Here we go. Genesis 46, New International Version. Let's read it. So Israel set out with all that was his. And when he reached Beersheba, he offered sacrifices to the God of his father Isaac. And God spoke to Israel in a vision at night and said, Jacob, Jacob. Now Jacob is Israel. It's the same man. Here I am, he replied. I am God. The God of your father, he said, do not be afraid to go down to Egypt, for I will make you into a great nation there. I will go down to Egypt with you. I will surely bring you back again. And Joseph's own hand will close your eyes. Wow. So powerful. Father, move in power. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. We're prayed through by now. So glad you're here. Again, a series called Living the Dream. God has a dream for you. God has a plan for you. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Jeremiah 29:11. I think one of the very first prophetic scriptures I was ever given. You have a divine assignment. I want you to say that. Say, I've got a divine assignment. A divine assignment from God. You will be judged before the throne seat, the judgment seat of the believer. You and I will stand before him to give an account for how we did with that assignment. Something that drives us is a vision that I've said so many times, and it's so impacted me that it's become my own. And vision is that way. But it was originally given to Dr. Morocco, and if you were to ask him, he would tell you, I don't know if it was a dream or a vision. But this is what happened. He appeared before the throne of God. He's dead. His life is over. And as he comes before God, the Lord says to him, what happened? And his response is, I didn't have the money. I didn't have the talent. I didn't have the people. I couldn't do what you asked me to do. I couldn't build all those churches. I just couldn't do it. And the Lord spoke to him and said, oh, son, don't you know I'd have helped you if you only tried? You want to look for a word that would define kings? We try. We just push and try and pray and believe. And now what was one church became three, became over 700, will soon become 1,200, and we'll go on from there. God has done amazing things. When I stand before him, I want to hear, well done. I don't want to hear, well, what happened? How many of you want to hear that? What happened? You made it to heaven, but you didn't do jack. You didn't do anything. What happened? I don't want to hear that. I want to hear, well done. How many of you want to hear, well done? So God has a dream for you. God has a dream for me. God has a corporate dream for us. God has a dream, a divine assignment. And you want to fulfill that. And so we're preaching this series on the life of Joseph and many messages up to this point. I think 10 messages now. They're all available online. This is profound because Joseph has now revealed himself to his brother. Sunday night, if you were not here for Sunday night, I preached the next message in the series. And do not miss Sunday morning. Sunday morning is a message on Goshen that will absolutely transform your life. I'm just going to be good tonight too, but I mean Sunday, but don't miss Sunday. Everybody say, don't miss, bump your neighbor and say, don't miss it, bro. So Joseph is, it's all these tests. The brothers have passed the test. Judah has become a Christ-like figure, such a wicked man, and he basically offers his own life to save Benjamin and his brothers. And Joseph reveals himself, and that text is so beautiful. Joseph couldn't contain it anymore, and he drives everybody out, and he weeps so loud that Egypt hears him. And he says, I am Joseph. And they're just in shock. It's this incredible moment of healing and restoration. And that's what God wants to do with your family. That's what God's done and is doing with mine, my extended family specifically. And so Joseph tells his brothers, go now, go get Dad, go get Israel, go get Jacob. And they come and they see Jacob, and it's this incredible revelation that Joseph is alive and they've been rescued in the midst of famine. And so now this is Jacob or Israel. Jacob wrestled with God, got touched in his hip, and got a name change from deceiver or supplanter to prince of God. And when God touches you, he will change you. Let me ask you, as we look at our notes now, how are you going to handle it when it all comes to pass? When every dream of yours comes to fruition, when it all comes to pass? There's the test of the palace. I remember talking to Steve Hill. How many of you know who Steve Hill is? They just had 30th anniversary of Brownsville. Steve Hill was the evangelist in 1995, Father's Day, just 30 years this past Sunday. He was the evangelist there. They had an outpouring that lasted for 5+ years. I had the privilege of helping him, serving him, carrying his bags in a week of meetings years ago. That guy had more props. Does anybody know who Steve Hill is? He had a ball and chain, like a real ball and chain from the 1800s. He had all these props. I'd never seen so many illustrated sermon props in my life. I'll never forget what he said. The last message he preached there in Maui, now he's in heaven. The last message he preached was out of the book of Revelation, let no man take your crown. He talked about the test of the palace. See, there's a test of the pit. The test of the prison that Joseph's gone through, the pit means prophet and training. It's a test of rejection. There's test of overcoming, test of feeling like you're rejected and all alone. There's all those tests, but there's the test of the palace. That's when you pass all of those tests, and then God releases the dream and you become the ruler. The money flows like a river and the influence, just power comes on you, an ability to really bring change and power. And if it perverts you, you fail the test of the palace. The test of the palace. And Joseph is passing the test of the palace. He's not abusing his brothers. He's got forgiveness in his heart. And as you follow hard after God, he will fulfill every dream. Listen, some of you can't hear me right now because you're like struggling with some sickness, or maybe your husband did something or your wife did something, or there's all kinds of difficulty and you have a court case and there's difficult things here and you're believing for money to pay your mortgage, or you're struggling with some sort of problem or bondage or addiction. I'm telling you, God will bring you through all of that by the power of his Spirit, and then he'll cause you to ride upon the heights. He'll cause you to overcome and overcome and overcome, and he will elevate you and promote you and bless you and pour his Spirit upon you and use you as a trophy of his grace. You just got to shake off the bands. You got to shake off the defilement. You got to live holy and call on his name. And then if you do that in time, your whole family gets saved, even the hardest-hearted, stiff-necked knucklehead, he's going to get saved. She's going to get saved. And God pours out his Spirit, and you will end up fulfilling the dream that God has for you. There's not one devil in hell that can stop you. Not one. Not one. And so Joseph has had this the dream fulfilled. The brothers have had the dreams fulfilled, and Israel now has the dream fulfilled. He's rescued from famine, and he says in the text that he set out. He doesn't set out to Egypt, though, and that, to me, is amazing. It doesn't say he just set out to Egypt. He didn't set out to Egypt. He set out to Beersheba. Phenomenal. Let me ask you, when you get to the palace, when you get success, when you get victory, how are you going to handle that? I'm going to pass the test. You find out when you get there. If you're not passing the little ones now, said somebody tell me, I'm going to tithe when I get wealthy. No, you won't. No, you won't. You can't tithe 10 cents on a dollar now. You sure ain't going to tithe on more than that. No, when I, no, you're wrong. You won't do it. Build it and they come. No, they won't. So look at the text. Jacob goes to Beersheba, and that's a place loaded with history. Lots of history, Beersheba. It's a place where Abraham met a treaty with Abimelech. As I was studying this, you know, he's not the only one. Isaac made a treaty with Abimelech too. And what's amazing to me is, God, that guy's old. Well, it's impossible, actually. Abimelech is like a pharaoh. It's a title. So you see Abimelech a couple different times in Scripture. It means my father is king is what that means. So you see these two different Abimelechs and the treaty that was made. Where was the treaty made? At Beersheba. In Genesis 21, 22 to 24, I won't read it. But it's so profound that Abimelech, again, that's the title of a king. Like a pharaoh, there's an Abimelech. And Abimelech sees the blessing of God so much so that he becomes really a believer. He sees God's blessed Abraham and he becomes a believer. It's this Beersheba. It's the place of an oath. He recognizes the presence of God. Abraham digs a well there. Abraham, Isaac. Isaac does the same thing. It's a place of visitation. It's a place also of testing. It was a home to Abraham. Why would Israel, when he's going to see his son, who he has not seen, his son who was left for dead, why would he go to Beersheba and not hightail it down to Egypt? Because there's something very important that you've got to see. It's called covenant. It's called worship. He just doesn't run down to Egypt, no. Beersheba was Abraham's home. It was a place where God tested him, calling him it's not where he sacrificed Isaac, but it's where God spoke to him to go 3 days to Moriah to sacrifice Isaac. Isaac was a place of visitation for him in Genesis 26. I'll read it to you, verse 23. Then he went up there to Beersheba. And the Lord appeared to him that same night and said, I am the God of your father Abraham. Don't fear. Sounds familiar. For I am with you. I will bless you and multiply you and your descendants for my servant Abraham's sake. And Isaac builds an altar and he digs a well, makes a treaty again. So Jacob hears the news of his son is alive. All this breakthrough, all the grains, all the grain, the wagons, all the animals. I mean, this incredible gift comes. And they set off, they pack everybody up, and we're not going to read through all the names. There's 70 of them. Picture of leadership, 70 in the family. And they're going to go down to Egypt, but he doesn't go to Egypt. He goes to Beersheba. Jacob sacrifices to God. It's this prophetic act. I mean, can you imagine how grateful he is? I shared with you recently, I was in Maui, and I had to pull my car over a number of times to weep uncontrollably for the goodness of God. I had to pull over, and I just couldn't believe that I'm so blessed. My kids are serving God. My wife loves me. Got this amazing move of the Spirit here in Alaska. Amazing move of the Spirit in Maui. I get to go back to the very place I got saved, driving down the hill. I drove down for a number of years. I was in Maui for 9 years, Molokai for 2, Kauai for 3.5, and moved up here, been here for almost 19 years. And God has blessed me beyond anything I could have ever imagined, exceedingly, abundantly, above and beyond all that I could ask or think. And as I'm driving down the hill, I'd start shaking and weeping and pull the car over and be like, oh, God, you're so good. I have a feeling that Israel felt like that, but more so, because he's further along. I'm enjoying getting older. I'm never going to get old, but I'm enjoying getting older. I really am. I wouldn't go back to being dumb and 21 for anything. Maybe you're smart and you're 21. That was not the case for me. I was a late bloomer. Any other late bloomers in the house? So he goes to Beersheba, the place of covenant with Abraham, the place of covenant with Isaac, and the place of covenant with Jacob. He returns. He goes back to Beersheba before he does one more thing. God speaks to him. Speaks to Jacob in a night vision. And look what he does. First of all, he says his name twice. Jacob, Jacob. Why is that significant? Because it's urgent. David, David, Samuel, Samuel, this God would say things twice. It's urgent. Jacob, Jacob. It's not just, yo, Jake. Austin, Austin. It's this urgency, you see. And God identifies himself. I like this. I am God. If that ever happens to you, you want to hit the deck. Just go low. I am God, the God of your father. That's Isaac, he said. Do not be afraid to go down to Egypt, for I'll make you into a great nation there. Now, what many scholars believe is undoubtedly, and I think I can say undoubtedly, and I undoubtedly believe this, that undoubtedly Israel, Jacob, everybody say it's the same guy, same guy. Heard about the prophecy. Did you heard about the prophecies? Kind of reminds me of a movie. Anyway, what prophecy? The prophecy that Abraham received from God that they were going to be brought into captivity for 400 years and they would come back. He knew the prophecy. It's not some random thing. He knew it. And he had to be concerned that he's going to be brought into slavery. Because that's what the prophecy says, and they'll be saved, and I'll bring them out with great abundance. That's the prophecy to Abraham. And so now there he is, Jacob's like, Lord, Jacob, Jacob. Yes, God, don't be afraid. I'm the God of your father, Isaac, the God of your father, Abraham. It doesn't say that, but it's a multi-generational God. Go, don't be afraid to go down there. Yeah, you're going to go and they're going to become slaves. Don't be afraid. Everybody say, don't be afraid. I'll make you into a nation. God will make him into a nation. And then God would be with him. And I just love the fact that God will bring his people back to Canaan's land. And there's a promise. I'm going to bring you back here. I'm going to fulfill that prophetic word. Now, this part was very moving for me. That Joseph would be with Jacob when he dies. You know, I'm finding one of the great blessings of life is having my family around. I am believing God for every single member of my family to fulfill the mandate and the call of God on their life. And I'm asking, oh God, would you allow it also to be where I am? Said, is God going to do that? Well, we'll see. I know one thing. The vision, the plan that God has for me is to lead my family to be a model of Christ-likeness by the grace of God and to fulfill the mandate that's on my life. My life is not about chasing my children around, and I will not do it. My life is about fulfilling the plan of God for my life. And if they're included, and they are included in that, whatever capacity, but sometimes, you know, things are hidden from us. We're like empty nesters, they say now. I almost laughed. I might be reaping a harvest. I thought of people like, well, all our kids are gone now. You pray for us. I'm like, whatever. That's going to be a dope. That's going to be amazing when the kids go, glory to God. And on one hand, it really is. On the other hand, it's not so great. Kind of stings a little bit. Does anybody else know what I'm talking about? Or how many other, you're not going to raise your hand no matter what. And the rest of you still have kids who you have no idea. I thought, well, you got to get filled with the Spirit. Yeah, I'm filled with the Spirit. And I've done plenty of weeping, missing my son and missing my daughter. And now my granddaughter crawled today for the very first time. I have a video. You want to see it? No, I'm just kidding. She's all. I watched her crawl. It's a video. I should show it to you. Okay. All right, God's speaking to us very simply tonight. How do you respond when your dream comes true? A lot of people, and this hasn't been in my heart that I'm aware of, but I've heard people say, well, I deserve it. You really deserve death. So, it's God's mercy. We can think, I deserve this. We can get sidetracked and become so enamored with what we have that we forget the one who actually gave it to us. Now, I have done that momentarily. When you ever buy a new car and you just be like, yeah. My friend, Dr. Michael Gannon, you know what he does when he buys something new? This is what he does with every pair of new snow skis he buys. He gets them, he brings them home, and he goes out to his driveway, brand new, not a scratch on him. He's like, thank you, Jesus. And he throws them on the asphalt. Like, why would you do that? He says, just because I want to put the first scratch in, it's going to happen, and I'm not going to be in bondage to somebody scratching my skis. I said, so do you, like, key your car, too, when you get a new car? He's like, no. But there is something about not being enamored. Don't let anything steal your love for God. Years ago, we were looking at a building. I'm driving with Dr. Morocco, and look at this building. Oh, I wanted the building. Oh, I wanted the building. And I'll never forget what Dr. Morocco said. Daniel, I said, what? He said, don't be enamored by anything. I'm like, okay, I want the building. Don't let anything take the place of your love for God. And when you hit the palace, when you get the dream comes true, you can get sidetracked. No, we need to be like Jacob. We need to go to Beersheba. We need to do what he did. We can humbly recognize his lordship and with thankful hearts draw close to him. That's what I was doing on Maui when I was weeping and rejoicing. It's just like, I seem to cry at the drop of a pin now. The wind blows, I get touched by God. Something has happened for me as a man of God serving him for almost 30 years now with a granddaughter. I know some of you are ahead, but I'm just saying something's happened. My heart is deeply tenderized and I'm overwhelmed knowing where I should be. And he saved me and he delivered me and he set me free. Come on, he's given me divine help. Is there anybody else that's grateful to be alive? Don't ever lose your gratitude. Don't ever forget to come back and rejoice and worship God. And that's what he does. He comes back to that place. He comes back to the place of covenant. He comes back and he recognizes the lordship of God Almighty. And it's with a thankful heart he draws close to God and God gives him a vision in the night. What does it mean for us to sacrifice at Beersheba? Beersheba was the picture of a home. It's a picture of the church, God's church, a picture of a place of worship. Sacrifices in the New Testament, I'll go through them quickly. Worship team, please. Offering our bodies as a living sacrifice. Pastor Wayne taught on that the other night. We're supposed to be a living sacrifice to him, to God. That's a sacrifice, just living for him. It's a reasonable act of worship, considering all that he's done. Giving is another way that we sacrifice to the Lord. Praising God is another way that we sacrifice to the Lord. Remember that old song, we bring a sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. Anybody remember it? We bring a sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. So we offer unto you a sacrifice is up. And we offer unto you the sacrifice is up. We bring a sacrifice. You say, well, if you want to sing that song, I mean, the point is, I've come to church. I don't always want to sing. I don't always want to lift my hands. Oh, you're the pastor. How come you don't? I've come in here irritated. Anybody else? Oh, holy ones. You've never come into church irritated. My gosh, I can't believe he's coming to the bell. That's not very pastoral of him to come into the church. You should see the people I have to deal with sometimes. They're irritating. Some of you know. Because it's you. No, I'm... How about dealing with myself? Confronted by numerous things this week. I was like, oh, I was very tempted. The first time I was tempted in a long time to come under condemnation. I recognized it. I just don't do condemnation. I just repent. But I repented and I just felt like this, you're dumb. This feeling of like, ugh, you loser. You did it again. I'm like, oh no, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. I just began to declare it. And I got off the phone and I lifted my hands and said, oh, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Christ Jesus our Lord. I'm born again. Oh, my mind's still being renewed. Lord, heal me of trigger points and church PTSD. Gotta be. Those guys are like, yes. I gotta be careful doing that. I was in Missouri somewhere, and I did that, and the inner part of the mic flew out. This thing weighs like a few pounds. It shot across the church. I was like, oh God! And it hit a chair in between some families. I was like, yes, thank you, Jesus. Would have totally knocked out a tooth. There is a sacrifice of praise, and you need to learn how to do it when you don't feel like worshiping. It has nothing to do with how you feel. It has everything to do with who he is. It has everything to do that he's worthy. It has everything. You do it not because you feel like it. You worship him because he's worthy of worship. Don't worship your emotions, your irritation. I'm trying. Another sacrifice is loving one another. And you all do a good job of that. And we're going to do better and better. Can you say amen? It can be a sacrifice to love one another. One of the things I really don't care for doing is going shopping. Oh no, I like shopping for man stuff. It's more like hunting. I went and bought a knife today for my son-in-law for Father's Day. I couldn't figure out a good gift, so I went and bought him a knife, custom made in Finland. It's his first Father's Day. I wanted to get him something significant. That's easy. I went in, I'm like, da, 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 da. Let me see that one. Pull it out. Check it out. Talking about, I'll take that one. I'm in and out of there in no time. Engraved Proverbs 20, verse 7 on it. A righteous man. It's just a great scripture. Sending it to him for Father's Day. No, I like doing that. Because men, when they go shopping, it's like hunting. When women go shopping, it's very different. They spend a lot of time just kind of looking and gazing. It's a whole experience of going through the aisles and looking at the tags, trying things on. You know? It's a whole flow. My wife's not been feeling so well, so she asked me to go shopping. And it really wasn't that hard because I just had to pull up to the thing and wait for it to come out. Yeah, she like called, you show them the number. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It's awesome. Just order it all and I sit there. But it interrupted, don't think evil about me now. It interrupted my schedule. It was an act of love pulling in driving stall one at Target to receive the things that she wanted me to get. It was an act of love. You all need to love each other. We need to love each other. It can be a sacrifice. It's probably not the best example. Beersheba is a place of covenant revelation. It's a place of covenant revelation and encounter. And I will just tell you, if you're white knuckling it to make it in the kingdom, you've missed something. You've missed something. God has revelation for you. He wants you to see. He wants you to behold the beauty of the Lord. One thing I desire, that will I seek after, said David, to behold the beauty of the Lord. See, even when your dreams are fulfilled, you need direction. You need ongoing direction. God's fulfilled our dreams of the school. Now we need ongoing direction. He's giving it to us. God's fulfilling dreams, God's fulfilling hopes, but you've got to go to the one who fulfilled it. You must come and continue to sacrifice and worship and give and pray and talk to him. Anything else you want me to do? Oh, God. And then he speaks. And then we respond. Moses' parents rejected the command of Pharaoh because they saw something of God in their child. More than an average baby, they saw the deliverer. They saw Moses. Drawn out of the waters is what his name means. God has a plan for you. You must continually go to Beersheba. I found something out in my life. If I will be true to the vision that he's given me as his servant, everything falls into place. Seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness. He adds all things. Lift your hands to heaven. I'm done. Holy Spirit, thank you. Mark people tonight. If you're not saved, you're not born again, your sins are not forgiven, you've not believed on the Lord Jesus, I implore you, I plead with you on behalf of heaven, to be reconciled to God. because there is a place called hell, and it was never created for you. It was created for the devil and his minions. You don't have to go there, but you will go there if you never receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You must repent. You must turn from darkness, turn from sin. There's no other name given among men by which we must be saved. In the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, every tongue confess. And you must bow the knee and confess now before you are done it under a mandate, shaking your fist in anger and regret. I'm going to bow my knee on that day, and I'm going to have my hand raised, weeping and crying and laughing and for joy for all that God's done, declaring his lordship. And I'm going to do it all of my life. How about you? What are you going to do? Where are you at with God? Where are you at with him? Don't play church. And if you like playing church, I'll make sure you hate this place, because that's not what we're here for. We're here to grow in God. We're here to reach the lost. We're here to see God's manifested power poured out upon a generation. We're here to declare the glory of God in the land of the living. We're here to plunder hell and populate heaven. We're here to fulfill the dream at any cost, reaching souls, laying hands on the sick and seeing them recover. It doesn't matter what the enemy tries to do to you. You can make it. You can overcome. You can fulfill the dream. God has you in the very palm of his hand. He's carved you in the palm of his hand if you've given your life to him. But if you haven't, you're outside the covering of God. You're not carved in his hand. And he's reaching to you through my voice right now to say, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You will not find rest in money. You will not find rest in alcohol. You will not find rest in the arms of a man or the arms of a woman. There is nothing that can satisfy you, nothing that can fill you, save Jesus Christ alone. All other ground is sinking sand. On Christ's solid rock I stand. He calls to you now, using my voice, using this moment. Come unto Christ, repent and receive him. Be forgiven, be washed, be cleansed, be renewed, be transformed, be brought out of darkness into the light, be set free. If you want to receive Jesus tonight, all across this place, come on, stand up on your feet. You want to receive Jesus tonight and you're serious about it, get your tail up here as fast as you can. Get out from where you are and come to the front right now. Come, there's others coming with you. Come on, come, come to Jesus. Come on, hustle, run quickly, move with purpose. Come on, come on, not a golf clap, church. Put your hands together for these. Come here, son, come on. Come on, there's more. Come, 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 come. Lead us in worship while people are deciding their eternal salvation and eternal destiny. Come, come on, worship God. Come, we'll wait a moment longer. Let's go.
You are the covenant keeping God.
If you need to get right with God, step out from where you are.
You are the covenant keeping God.
Give your life to Jesus.
You are the covenant keeping God.
Pray this prayer right where you are. We'll all be praying it, affirming our faith. Maybe praying it for the first time or recommitting your life. Pray right out loud. Say, dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your son Jesus to die on a cross for my sin. Forgive me for all the things I've done wrong. I believe you rose again from the grave, and I ask you tonight to come into my heart, to wash me, to cleanse me, to make me new. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for hearing my prayer. Amen. Would you lift your hands to heaven? Father, with hands raised all across this place, those up front, those from the front to the back, left and right, those online in Pakistan, in India, in the Philippines, wherever you are, may the power of the Holy Spirit come upon you now. May you be endued with power, clothed with power from on high. Power to resist the devil. Power to share your story about what Jesus has done. The old is gone, the new has come. Father, thank you. Break every chain, break every bondage. Thank you for these.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you.